Great to see everyone this morning, and again, welcome. Glad that you are here. It's good to see some of our young folks have been away at college or still with us. I see Cody, and where's Angel? There you are, Angel. You're there. Anybody else? Anybody else? Glad you guys are home. Who? Somebody's pointing. Angel. Yeah, I said she's over there. Yeah. Yeah, glad you guys are here. I know you had a good time with your folks. All my kids were home this week, and we had to send one back on Thanksgiving Day, but that was okay. At least we got to see everyone, and got two still here. And so, yeah, Leah, you're part of that too. Yeah, that's right. Forgot about you. You're in college too. You're here. And also, I want to thank you for your prayers for me, for the surgery I had on Monday. I spent a night in the hospital. Everything went very well, and I attribute that to your prayers, for your phone calls, and food. Some folks brought some food over and cards, and so I mainly thank you for keeping me in your prayers. I sensed those prayers, and I felt the prayers of the congregation, and God is good. Some great things happen, and so I want to thank you for that. Thank God for that. That all of that went well. And I know Lynn had surgery this week, and hers went well. So we want to keep Lynn Tugwell in our prayers this morning. And just remind you of a couple of things. The next few weeks will be busy in life in our church. Tina's asked for your help, and we have opportunities for mission and for giving. And so don't waste those opportunities. You know, so many times people say, what does the church need, or where can I help out? They're all right there in front of you. And do what God leads you to do through the power and presence of the Holy Spirit. And one of the songs that we sang is, the song said, come, let's see if I get this right. I wrote it down in my, okay, it says, come, let us sing a song that we belong to Jesus. Come and let us sing a song that we belong to Jesus. Well, what does that mean, you know, as the church? What does that mean as individual, as Christians? Come and let us sing a song that we belong to Jesus. What kind of song do you sing, you know, each and every day? What kind of song is it? And I just happened to think about that because I believe it relates to the message from Romans this morning. And so I'm going to be reading from Romans, the 13th chapter, verses 11 through 14. And I believe Paul was speaking to this very thing as he tells the church, and as he tells those who have come to know Christ, whose lives have been changed. He says, look, Jesus is coming again soon. He is coming. And the question is, what kind of life will you reflect and will I reflect? What kind of examples will we be? Now, we don't know when he's coming. You know, when Paul first began to talk about Jesus coming back, the folks thought it was right around the corner. And a lot of them just, you know, they didn't do anything. They were just sitting around waiting. Like we hear sometimes about folks who predict the day and time when Jesus is coming, and they just pull themselves out of the world. They withdraw, and they go and get on some mountain somewhere or some cave somewhere, sell everything they have. And so as we live our lives, we know that Jesus is coming back again someday. We know that. So the question is, what are we doing in the meantime? What kind of song are we singing? Are we singing a worldly song? Are we singing a song that is an example of why Jesus Christ came into the world? You know, we can't let the fact that Christ came into the world and died on the cross for our sin and rose again and suffered and died, we cannot let that, as the Christian church and as individuals, we cannot let that go to waste. Because he died for you and for me. And so we can't waste that. We have to live into it. As my colleague, my district superintendent, Richard Stone, used to say, you got to live into it, Jerry. You got to live into it. That's what he used to say. I loved it. It's one of his quotes. So reading now from Romans 13, we hear these chapter 13, verses 11 through 14. And do this, knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep. For now our salvation is nearer than when we first believed. That's true, isn't it? It's true in Paul's time, and it's true now. Our salvation is nearer than when we first believed. The night is far spent. The day is at hand. Therefore, let us cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk properly as in the day, not in revelry and in drunkenness, not in lewdness and lust, not in strife and in envy. Some versions of the Bible use the words debauchery and licentiousness. Not in strife and envy, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill its lust. Come now and let us sing a song about Jesus. Put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh. Let us pray. Lord God, we are glad to be in your house this morning. As we gather as the church and as the saints of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. God, we come into your presence now in this season of Advent. As we come with expectation, Lord, you tell us that this is just not only a season, but when we awake in the morning, we need to have that expectation in our lives, that hope in our lives, that you are doing powerful and wonderful things in and through us. Lord, we live in a world where constantly we're being bombarded with the negative things that take place. And it is easy, so easy, Lord, to be down on oneself. And yet, we are reminded that because we have a song to sing in our hearts, because of what Jesus has given to us, that we are indeed those who bring hope and live out that hope in the world around us. We pray now for your word as it goes forth. And we pray now, your Lord, for the preacher and all those across the world today who present the gospel of Christ, who teach it, who live it, and who suffer for it. And we ask all these things in the name of Jesus. Amen. So Paul's message to the Romans and to the Christian church of his day is to wake up. Wake up. Now, how many of you have ever, you've gone on a trip and you stayed at a hotel one night, or maybe even your own home, you got some important thing that you've got to do the next morning, some appointment that you need to be there, some plane to catch, or some meeting to be there, and you call the night clerk or you ask someone in the home and say, look, give me a wake-up call. All right? I mean, all of us have done that. I want a wake-up call. You might set the alarm, but you're doing everything you can to make sure that you get up, that you awake out of your sleep, because and I know that when we're sleeping, that many times when we're in a deep sleep, we don't know nothing. We don't know anything that is going on, especially if we're in that deep sleep. And so sometimes if we're tired, we're worn out, and we're just, plain give out. And so we don't trust ourselves to wake up. We don't trust ourselves to do what we need to do. So we ask somebody else to help us. We ask somebody else to, we need that encouragement, that little umph to get up and meet the obligations that we need to meet. And Paul in this passage, Paul is he's telling the Christian church of his day. Imagine that. A lot of people are saying that today. The church needs to wake up. You know, Christians need to wake up. They need to look at what's happening around them. And they need to be conscientious and faithful in living out what Jesus did on the cross for you and for me. And so, isn't it interesting that even in Paul's day, here's Paul, this preacher, and he's just charging the church. He's encouraging the church. He's exhorting the church. You guys, you got to wake up. You got to see what's going on around you. And you've got to live into what Jesus has called you and me to do. And, you know, we all of us live in that day in and day out. We can be asleep. We can be awake, but we can be asleep. Because we're asleep because we don't realize what's going on around us. All we're concerned with is what's happening in my life. Or what my problems or what my issues are. Or what the issues are in the church. And, you know, we can get so caught up in the routine of what's taking place that sometimes we too need to be awakened from our sleep. We get in a stupor. And sometimes we lose out on what the importance of the mission, the importance of what God wants us and calls us to do. Now, not only does Paul tell the church that they need to wake up, but he also tells them that they need to put on the gospel of Jesus Christ. He says you just can't be as a Christian person, as a person who's been saved by Christ. He said, just because you are that person and Jesus is coming back again, you cannot be complacent. You know, you just can't be dilly-dallying from one day to the next, from one moment to the next. He tells them, he says, not only to wake up, but to put on the armor of Jesus Christ. Sing a song about Jesus day in and day out. Put it on. And then he goes on to tell them, well, what does that mean? What does it mean to put on Christ? Paul tells him, he says, you are a new man. You are a new woman because of what Christ Jesus has done. Not only that, we live in a new world. God has created, God, something new and something powerful is happening because of the event of the resurrection. Because Jesus Christ, God's Son, was willing to go to the cross for you and me. Why? Because He loved you and me. And so Paul says, it's a new day, it's a new time, it's a new community. And Paul said, don't put that to waste. Put on new clothes. And of course, in his day, he's using armor because, you know, we know about putting on the armor of salvation. We know about that scripture that talks about all of those things. But Paul says, it's time to put on new clothes, different clothes. Let me ask you a question. When you get up from your sleep in the morning and you go into a meeting or you're going somewhere, do you wear the same clothes that you did when you went to sleep in that night? Do you look the same? No. There's certain things we have to go through, don't we, to make ourselves presentable for the world. You know, like brush our teeth. We've got to do all those things. And that it takes time. You just don't jump up and do it, do you? Well, you know, every now and then I'll see somebody wearing pajama pants, but I don't know if they wear them or if they wore them that if they slept in them that night. And if they did, I just try to stay away from them. I have seen that. But, you know, normally we're not going to do that, are we? That's not going to happen. We're going to do our best to face the day. You know, we're going to put on, we're going to put on our face. I'm talking about men and women. You know, it might have been a rough night. You might not have gotten good sleep. You know, you might somebody, you know, a son or daughter might have woken you up in the morning. It might have been some issue. But boy, when you go out to face the day, you're not going to look the same way as you did when you went to bed and when you got up that morning. That's not going to happen. So Paul was saying to the Christians there and to the church, he said, look, put on this new armor, put on these new clothes. Why? Because of what he's talking about spiritually. You know, he's talking about inwardly. He says, you know, the message of Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit, has pervaded your life. You know, it had embraced your heart and your soul and your spirit. And we're supposed to be different. We're supposed to wear the clothes. We're supposed to wear the armor that reflects that new life, that new creation, that new hope that is in us. Because of what Jesus was willing to do. So he says, you know, put on these new clothes. Awake. You know, wake up. And then the third thing I think Paul says is, he says, not only put on, but I think not only wake up, put on, but I think he tells them to shut up. And what do I mean by that? Well, Paul was saying, look, you are no longer of the world. And he lists here in these scriptures, he gives us some great metaphors for what we're supposed to do. He says, look, salvation is nearer than when we first believe. Jesus is coming again. Even if, and you've heard me say this over and over and over again, we don't need to be worried about the day or time that Jesus is coming. We need to be worried about where we are when the time happens for us to go meet him. Because chances are that's going to come quicker than that day and time when we say the rapture or the end of time will come. So what do we do in the meantime? We're putting on these new clothes. But not only that, we are living a life that is an example to the world around us. And so we hear these words in this scripture. Put on the armor of light. You don't need to live in darkness anymore. You don't need to live that old life. This armor of light, this new clothes, this new spiritual awakening, this new insight, this new belief, this new word of salvation reaches deep down into the very heart of your soul and my soul, your heart and my heart, so that we can overcome. We can overcome the deeds of darkness. We can overcome the sins of darkness. And he says to them, he says, look, you don't need to be living in revelry. You don't need to be living in drunkenness. You don't need to be living in lewdness. You don't need to be lusting. You don't need to have strife. You don't need to be living in envy. And he says, when you put on the Lord Jesus Christ, you don't make any room for that stuff in your life and my life. Why? Because, you know, all of us know those verses. We have become new creatures in Christ. It is not I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And if Christ is living in me, then we have the authority, we have the power, we have the ability, we have the grace to live not as people of the world, but to live as a people who know and love Christ and are living out the gospel message from day to day. And why is it all happen? Because of love. Because of God's love for you and God's love for us. That's the motivation. Love leads to proper and right and good relationships. So how do we wake up? How do we put on? And how do we shut up? The reason I say shut up is Because we don't live as the hypocrites do. We don't say it. We live it. We live it. And I love what John Maxwell has a list of things in one of his leadership books that talks about how we are supposed to put on Christ as sisters and brothers and as the church. And I want to read these to you. And this is what he says. One is we avoid hypocrisy. You know, we live lives that are genuine. We're sincere in what we do. We believe what we say. We live out what we say. We are sincere. Avoid hypocrisy. And then the other one is be loyal. This is how we put on Christ. Be loyal to your friends, to your colleagues. Treat others, brothers and sisters, as you'd want them to treat you. What would that look like? Treat others as you'd want them. This is all part of putting on the armor of Christ. Give preference to others. Honor the desires of others above your own. That's a hard one, isn't it? Especially in a marital relationship or any kind of close friendship. You know, be hospitable. Look for ways to meet the needs of others. That's the fourth one. Return good for evil. This is the fifth one. Act, don't react when others hurt you. Boy, these are good ones, aren't they? I mean, that speaks to me. The sixth one, identify with others. Treat others and what they are going through and what their victories are and what their joys are. Treat them as if they were your own. Don't be envious. Don't be jealous about them. Identify with others. Be open-minded toward others. Oh, this is a tough one, you know. Be open-minded. He says, seek to connect with anyone you speak to. Now, that's a good one. How often do we practice that? Seek to connect with every person that you are speaking to. That goes beyond just the, hey, how are you, doesn't it? It goes beyond, oh, I'm well, hope you're well. How you doing today? And moving on. That's not connecting, is it? No. And when we connect with people, when we show God's love to people, then I think they begin to see the Spirit of Christ living in us, and they see that we're not being hypocrites. Treat everyone with respect. This is a compliment to any person. Treat everyone with respect. How about that? He says, that is a compliment to them. Do everything possible to keep the peace. Choose wisely which hills to die on. Do everything possible to keep the peace. Choose wisely which hills to die on. That's number 9. And then number 10, remove revenge from your life. Let God judge others. You love them. Isn't that good? Let God judge others. You love them. And by showing that love, by giving that love, by living out that love, we are putting on the armor of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. By doing those things, we are not talking it, but we are living it. By living those things, we are alert and we are vigilant to what is going on in the world around us. And no matter what it is, or how difficult it may seem, if we are attuned to what is happening and we are living out our lives so that the armor of Jesus Christ, we're putting on the armor of Christ, and His Spirit is working in and through us, what an impact we can make in the world around us. I'm not saying these things are easy. I don't think Paul was saying that to the Christian believers, but he's saying you can have victory in those things. Yeah. See the world of darkness around you and be the light of God's love and grace in that world. Put on Christ. What does that mean? Well, you can't put him on if you don't know him. You can't put Christ on if all you do is hear about him. You can't put him on if he's not in your life and in your soul and in your heart. And you can't put him on if you're constantly ignoring him. Ignoring what he says and ignoring. You can't put him on if you're not having a relationship with Christ. You can't do it. But Paul says, and the scriptures say, and Jesus says, greater is he that is in you than he who is in the world. And because of Christ, we can overcome the darkness that's all around us. Put on Christ. Where do you need to be challenged in those words today? Maybe you're asleep. You're just kind of going through life, you know. You know, you come to church, you sit there, and you say, oh, that's great, and then you leave. And maybe you're asleep at work, you know, with your colleagues. You know, you've been with them 5, 10 years, 15, oh, yeah, I know what they're saying. I know what they're going to say. I know what they're going to do. I know, yeah, they're just like that. They're not going to change. Oh, yeah, that church, yeah, well, they're just, you know, they're just... Yeah, I come and I go and I come and I go, but I'm not gonna give myself to any of those things. Put on Christ. That's what we're called. That's what every person is called to do. You're not called to be a wildflower if you're a Christian. You're called to be in the battle, in the world, bringing light to the darkness. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, you are indeed the light that has come into the world. And again, as we celebrate your birth, we are reminded again that one day you will come. But until that time comes, we are to be faithful servants, living out the life that you call us to live. Lord, help us to be those faithful servants. And I pray today, if there's one here that doesn't know you as their Lord and Savior, or there's one here that is struggling with these evils in the dark, that darkness seems to just kind of have its way with them. God, may the light of your love shine on them and on us today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.